Andy Bounds from the Financial Times.
Andy, nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to ask you about your long COVID discussion today and what the Dutch government is hoping will come from it and why you're concerned about this issue.
Yeah, first of all, what we've seen already over the past few years, but still currently today, is that this is affecting many, many, many people. In all European countries. We spoke here today and estimates were that this would easily amount to far more than 15 million people within Europe at the moment. It actually implies that people, sometimes even after minor symptoms of COVID, have prolonged and severely disabling symptoms of chronic fatigue, muscle pain, and all sorts of other symptoms. And thus are unable to work, are unable to fully participate in everything within the family, etc. And so the very large number of subjects, the prolonged duration, often months, sometimes years, leading to long-term disability, so the numbers and the duration, means that this has a significant impact, for instance, not firstly on the citizens and their direct environment, their family members, etc., but also on the EU labour market, etc. And we see that this is happening in all European countries and also outside of Europe, and that every individual country is doing, struggling with this, is doing research because there is so much uncertainty in terms of, which exact symptoms. What is the prognosis, how to diagnose or define, what are clinical guidelines, what are particular management or therapeutic strategies. And then in such a situation, individual countries and researchers are doing research, but they come up with answers to the same questions. And thus, at the moment, we're in a situation where we see every month, a lot of publications on this. But when you critically look into them, it turns out that many of them give an answer to the exact same question, but then many other answers remain unnoticed. So the reason for me to bring this up already in December and now again is that I think that we could provide much more knowledge and go much faster if we join forces, also with the coordination here from within the EU, and thus bring knowledge together, bring our centers and our experts together, join in doing similar research, or when one country and one researcher does a particular study which will surely provide an answer, that we ensure that another country and another center, expert center, do additional studies to answer additional questions. And that was the reason to bring this forward, and I was very glad to see that this was widely supported, basically by all countries, and also by the EU Commissioner, and she came now forward with the clear proposal to set up this European network, and on top of what the individual countries do, also invest additional EU money to facilitate this.
And have you come across any evidence of cures or treatments that work against long COVID?
No, there is a lot of, there's a lot of publications which report on the effects of individual treatments. But if you are very critical and you look at them and say, well, from a medical perspective, what we really would like to have is, like we always do, is for instance have data from randomized controlled trials with sufficient power, then the evidence remains very, very limited. The same in terms of the exact duration of symptoms or the impact of. So that's a reason of bringing this together instead of reinventing the wheel in every individual country and every individual center. It's first of all for the benefit of these patients, but secondly also for their colleagues, their family members, and all our countries.
Yeah, and in terms of the economics and the labour market, I mean, I know there's a big fall in many countries in participation among over 50s, which some have ascribed to long COVID. Have you had that experience in the Netherlands?
Well, sure, this is absolutely a factor. If I mention the numbers that were mentioned today, we've seen studies in the Netherlands where it may differ in the numbers, but there's been a large study in the Netherlands which reported that one out of every eight persons who had COVID had prolonged symptoms afterwards. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are all unable to work, or go to school or study, etc., but prolonged symptoms is already impairing their daily life activities. And so, yeah, with these numbers and these very prolonged duration, this is definitely a contributing factor to the increased sickness rates in all our different countries. I should stress, though, because you mentioned that it's only 50, many of these, this happens and occurs in all ages. It affects children, it affects adolescents, young adults, it's all age groups. Of course, the 50 plus or 60 plus, I look at myself, we are more at risk of severe COVID, but it is not necessarily severe COVID which is a direct predictor for these prolonged symptoms. Of course, if you're admitted to the ICU and have been on the ICU with COVID and on a respirator, mechanical ventilator for a long time, then that's definitely, but that's not within the real realm and the real discussion of post-COVID. This is a very specific group. But there are many others, even people who have been vaccinated, and when they get an infection, they still suffer from very prolonged duration of symptoms.
And obviously,
in that respect, but this is typically a semantical discussion, and that's in the English literature, it's usually being referred to as long COVID. Having been a physician in the past myself, I dislike the term long COVID, but it's just the semantics. And the long COVID suggests that it is prolonged COVID. And COVID usually is obviously a respiratory infection, is pulmonary, it's shortness of breath. But many of these patients have other symptoms. It's not the COVID, but it is other symptoms after they have had COVID. So personally, I always use post-COVID instead of long COVID.